Hello and welcome to our live show. This is Tessa.com's day one recap show from CES 2013. I'm Norm, and joining me are not Will Smith or Gary Witter. If you are a regular reader of Tessa, you might be wondering where's Will, where's Gary, the usual crew? Well, both of them, unfortunately, this year are not at CES. They have various degrees of baby responsibilities. Gary has a newborn child. She's beautiful, awesome. And Will is just about to have a baby, not him, his wife, but he can't be at CES. So all this week, I'll be joined by various guests from other tech websites, and we'll just have having a fun time talking about CES. This is day one. The show floor isn't open quite yet, but we'll get all that. I want to introduce my guests, two good friends. Hello, we have Florence Ion and Casey Johnson, both from ArsTechnica.com. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. You guys?
Tired.
Tired?
Tired. It's like, what? Is it 10 o'clock right now? It's like 1 a.m. my time.
You're from the East Coast.
Yes, I am from New York.
So it's past your bedtime.
A little bit, maybe.
New York doesn't sleep though, right?
Yeah, that's true. Okay, good point.
All right. Well, we're just getting started here, so please stay awake. I know we all just had some pizza, and we will talk about that too. You guys, is this your first year at CES? Like how many times have you been?
This is my third time, actually.
Flo?
My fourth year. So third time.
Veterans of CES. Yeah, I definitely want to ask you guys about what you think of CES this year. I know the show floor isn't officially open yet, but it's a little different. At least that feels a little different. But it's a fun time. Mm-hmm. CES is always a good time to meet people, old friends, some people we see once a year, some people we've actually never met in person. We just know from the internet, and it's great to say hi. Mm-hmm. You guys get that experience where you're walking, and then someone will say hi to you, and you're like, should I know who this person is? It could be PR, or it could be someone who follows me on Twitter that I don't know, or maybe it's someone that I've corresponded with, and I just know them from their Twitter avatar, and it's nothing like what they look like in real life. Mm-hmm. And then you do the whole, I gotta look at your badge, and then
you check.
Well, I'm sorry, Casey.
No, I feel like that happens, like, I recognize somebody more than I get recognized, and then I know so much about you, and they like look at my they do the surreptitious like glance down at my badge, and they're like, nope, I don't know you.
I'm sorry.
I actually went to a guy today and flipped his badge over, and I was like, oh, you! I remember you.
That is acceptable behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no shame.
It's worse when it's with PR people because they're supposed to, they know everyone, and then they're like, oh, I read that thing you did. No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
I had one who hugged me. Once. I'd never met her before.
I get a lot of hugs.
She was like, are you Casey Johnson? And I was like, yeah. She was like, oh, I'm blah, blah, blah. Like, so good to see you. She like wrapped me in a hug. I was like, never met this person before. Oh, wow. I mean, it was fine. It was a nice hug. She was nice. It was just like weird.
Warm PR people.
It's a very interesting social environment, especially for, you guys work from home.
Yes.
Right? You guys don't have like an office, and you guys get to see your crew.
We're way out also, of practice. Way out of practice.
And actually work together, and that's got to be interesting. Mm-hmm. I do want to do some housekeeping first. We are broadcasting this live. Some of you may be watching this as a recap archive, but if you're watching it live and there are any technical problems, audio problems, video problems, please don't hesitate to tweet me right away at nchan. I'll be monitoring my Twitter feed, and we'll also be answering some questions if you guys have questions about CES from the floor. We did the test list yesterday, and everything seemed okay. Every day is going to get better. We have a sign, as I want to point out. It's quite a nice
sign. It's a great sign.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
It makes it official.
I haven't seen it in person yet, actually. I wasn't checking it out.
Yeah.
It has foam. It has foam.
Foam core is pretty amazing.
It has serious volume. Nice job.
It does, yeah. So CES day one, it's press conference day. So for people who don't know, it's press day, is I guess what they officially call it. Last night we had CES Unveiled, which is kind of like the cocktail party for everyone who just flew in and then to say hi to everyone. But today, bright and early, 8 a.m., press conferences stacked back to back to back to back. Mm-hmm. All the major companies who are here, from LG all the way down to Sony, had their 1 hour to lay out not only for press, but for analysts, their plans for the year, their forecast of the trends and how they performed last year. So their keynotes. Mm-hmm. It's like, Apple keynote after Apple keynote, but maybe not quite as exciting. So you guys attended some of the press conferences. Mm-hmm. Last year, we had more people here, so we kind of staggered, you know, a group of us would go to one, and then people would line up for the other. And it's a massive line, right? It's mm-hmm. like hundreds of people mm-hmm. in a line yeah. in some casino conference center ballroom, outside mm-hmm. a ballroom. But let's get down to it and recap at least some of the press conferences that we went to, we all went to. Mm-hmm. The day started off with LG. And that's one that Flo,
yes,
you went to. And what were the highlights that you thought from came out from the LG conference?
I'm very excited about their front-loading washer because I do the laundry in the house and I fold it. But I was really sort of disappointed. I know that kind of they had their smartphones come out, you know, late last year, but I was kind of disappointed. I was hoping to see an Optimus G2. I was really hoping, because I know LG's kind of really got a good wave going right now. You know, it's got the Nexus 4 and everything, and so...
Yeah, and they didn't mention the Nexus 4. Yeah. You know, these things typically come out...
They didn't mention it at all?
They did. They mentioned it very briefly. Yeah, okay. Just as we've had this partnership with Google, mm-hmm. and it's, okay. you know, it's validating us and their belief, and that's kind of, you know, but... They didn't say that they would ramp up production. They didn't talk about...
Right. What about the 100,000 people or whatever who don't have their phones yet?
It's so... LG's, like, position in the mobile market is, like, so weird to me. They're just, like... They're, like, slackers. Like, we're not going to try. They make, like, a lot of mid-range handsets. Mm-hmm. And I feel like every time they have an opportunity with a high-range thing, they kind of duff it somehow. Like, with the Nexus 4, like,
with
no 4G.
LTE, sure, yeah.
Like, come on.
And other things they do TVs. And so the big thing this year, at least coming to CES, what I thought would be big would be 4K. We did see some 4K TVs last year.
We did.
And LG did bring out their big, you know, 84-inch 4K TV. But it wasn't 4K across the line. They still talk about, you know, OLED and LED TVs and appliances. Nothing shocking, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing big out of that.
A very 8 a.m. keynote. I'm sorry.
Now, we did have Imagine a World. LG was also the famous press conference. I don't know if you guys were here 2 years ago, the infamous Imagine a World where, you know, your refrigerator can do this. Imagine a World. Now, they played up the life is good. They want to encourage people to discover a better life, you know, smarter way of living. They touted their magic remote that they can use to, you know,
gesture
on your TV, to the remote, you know, natural language recognition, all that stuff. Is that anything that you guys are excited about?
This was 2 years ago that they said
this year they have the magic remote.
Oh, they said.
This year they had the magic remote, which was an upgrade from last year's, but 2 years ago it was about their appliances and imagine a world where your appliance could track your Twitter updates.
I mean, like you do gestures with the remote and it like a Wiimote.
Yeah, you can draw on the TV, you know, the channel you want to go to. So they're basically taking these lessons that they think people that they've learned from mobile business, from smartphones, and all their usage from that. You know, people like touching things, people like gesturing, and why not put that on the TV? The clicker, I think, is okay.
I think voice is, people like voice, that people like gesturing, like. That's a leap, I feel like. Like, that's in a... It's in like, you know, it's in the Wiimote, and it's in, like, I don't know, the Kinect.
Which I don't use the gestures on the Kinect. Right. I just talk to it.
Yeah.
But is there, like, a delay? Is it like, you know, you gotta...
Yes.
Do you ever get frustrated, like, with Siri on the Kinect?
Xbox!
Oh, my God.
Stop this right now!
No, yes. Yeah. Yeah, I thought LG's press conference was pretty underwhelming. They did have a refrigerator that has not one... but two sets of doors.
Oh my God.
So that if you
wait,
just...
Wait, so there's four doors?
No. Yeah, so you know how it's like a French door refrigerator that normally opens up, but instead of having just one set of doors that open, it's like a door, set of doors, and then a double layer.
Yeah.
So if you just want to get your condiments...
Cheese or condiments.
Or your butter or your beer, you can open just the front door and then all your other stuff, your milk will be cold and you won't lose any heat.
I don't feel good about
that. That removes the entire point of opening the fridge for no reason.
Yeah.
Because I always, when I lived with my parents, I always opened the fridge just out of, it was just a weird habit I had every time I came downstairs. Mm-hmm. Like, what's in the fridge?
You have to see what's in there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then...
Is opening Twitter after you immediately close Twitter? Is that the new opening to the fridge for
no
reason? Oh my
gosh, I totally do that. Yeah. I totally do that.
Like the space out, mm-hmm. right? This is the force
yeah.
of habit.
Yeah.
I was going to do something, but I didn't. It's like opening Twitter.
And then you open it. You open it in a tab. And then while you're waiting for it to load, you open another tab and do something else. And then you yeah. have the tab open and then right. you forget you didn't do anything. You close it and then remember.
That's what technology has done to us. LG also had like 72 different refrigerator appliances they would be announcing this year. I mean, they're obviously not just a phone company, a smartphone company. They're in Sears and mm-hmm. you know, Best Buy, and they got to go the full range. I love my LG washer and dryer.
It sings
me a song.
It's amazing.
You press the on button and there's a little chime with do-do-do-do-do-do. And then when your laundry is done, it does a little song also.
Wow. Yeah. I'm not familiar with this behavior.
Life.
It doesn't do delicates very well, though.
Oh.
So that was the LG first press conference. And then there was a bunch of stuff afterwards. So there was a Panasonic press conference, which neither of you went to. I went to that one, also pretty underwhelming. Mm-hmm. They talked about their plasma, you know, the Vera stuff. They really hyped up new interfaces for their TVs. Now it's customizable interfaces, customizable smart, you know, like when you launch your smart screen mm-hmm. on your TV, which no one ever does
yeah.
either. You buy a smart TV that has apps and who actually presses that button to do that. I mean, I guess if you don't have an Xbox or if you don't have a Netflix player, these also work as Netflix players, but
yeah.
that's not going to be my first choice for a Netflix player.
Right.
So I was pretty underwhelmed also by the Panasonic one. There was a big Intel one I didn't go to. Did you guys go to that one
either? Did not go to that one either.
So apparently...
My colleague Andrew Cunningham did, though.
Yes. Yes. So you guys have a story.
Our very own.
Yes.
And in the room right now also, you guys did a good write-up about that. Our own Wesley Fenlon went to that one, offstage eating pizza yes. right now. And he also did a write-up about that. Apparently what they showed off there was their next generation, the Haswell processors, even more power efficient. You're going to go down to, what was the wattage? It was 7 watts of power. Not as low as like an ARM processor, which is like 2 watts of power, but it's getting there. Yeah. x86 is getting there, and this is going to be on, you know, you're going to be able to run like really compact Windows laptops running full x86 Windows with all the old applications, but have the long battery life. And then they also announced, like, you know, next-gen Ultrabooks. It's basically going to require touch also, which I'm a big fan of.
There's like a new standard?
I think that when they release, because the Ultrabook standard, kind of like the Centrino, and it's tied to the chipset. They sell you have to, for you to be called an Ultrabook, not only do you have to meet certain requirements for the shape, the size, and the thickness, but you also have to basically use Intel's chipsets and their core processors.
Right.
The next generation core processor, which they announced, if you want to use that and call an Ultrabook, because you have to have touch, basically.
Huh.
Yeah, which I'm very
that's
I'm
that's
proud.
A bold statement.
I
feel like the Ultrabook label has not
really taken off. Like if you ask Intel specifically, you know, what are the requirements for an Ultrabook? Like, it is a very loose set of requirements, and there are different requirements. For example, for Ultrabooks that have a touchscreen, they can be a little thicker than Ultrabook. So it just means you go into like a Best Buy or Fry's and you see that this is a Lenovo branded Ultrabook versus an Asus Ultrabook, they could be very different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think they're targeting, I think, $800 for the next gen Ultrabooks.
No more than $800.
As a base price.
Okay.
I think that's I'm excited to see Ultrabooks moving forward. And you know, those chipsets will obviously make their way into Apple laptops and stuff like that.
Eventually.
But Apple obviously doesn't have touchscreens on their laptops.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I would like to see.
Well, they don't need to call it an Ultrabook.
No, they don't need to call it an Ultrabook. They can call it a MacBook Air or the MacBook Pro.
Frankly, I love the trackpad.
You like the
I use all the gestures.
What's your favorite gesture on the trackpad?
The three swipe over to get
swipe?
Through. Yeah.
To go through
screens.
Four-finger swipe.
Yeah. Whatever.
Wait, I think I said to change like spaces?
Or? Yeah, spaces.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that one
swipe.
Too.
That is my favorite.
I like the it's a swipe up. I don't know if it's three or four, but it's the mission control.
Oh, use mission control?
I need to use that one.
It's great.
Because I'm always like, where's the button?
Yeah, I use it all the time.
Yeah.
Just that. It's. I can't remember if it's 3 or 4, though. I think it's 4.
Oh, middle mouse button is what I'm thinking. Because I use a mouse, and that is a middle mouse button. We're all... Yeah, expose is what they use.
Right, that's...
Right. I'm stuck with the old terminology.
Okay. So that was Intel's press conference, and after that one was one that we actually all went to, mm-hmm. The Samsung press conference. Samsung, mm-hmm. Biggest smartphone maker in the world, mm-hmm. selling
number one in the world
by quantity. Yeah. Even though they use Android, and people their first Android phones were not great. And they're sticking to their skins and their UIs. They are mm-hmm. selling, they cannot sell enough of those GS3s. Mm. No GS4 announcement. I think they're probably saving that for, they're big enough that they can have their own event.
They've done all, the 2 and 3 were at Mobile World Congress, I want to say.
MWC, or the Barcelona? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So February mm-hmm, is probably when we're going to see GS4.
Hmm. Hopefully, because right. I really like
not not at CTIA or any of that.
I don't think so.
CTIA passed, I believe. I think it was
months ago. Yeah, it's a while.
In San Diego.
Until the next one.
Mm-hmm. Next, Mobile World Congress. We'll keep mm-hmm. an eye out for that. Mm-hmm. They did announce the Nook Note 2.
Yes.
5.5 inch for Verizon, which I guess was their for other carriers.
Yeah.
And then of course they also have, like LG, tons of other devices.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What was the highlight for you from the Samsung press conference?
I'm going to let Casey go first.
Where to start?
You tweeted plenty about it.
Did I? I tweeted mainly about the internet fridge.
Fridge!
The Evernote fridge. Fridge!
Evernote fridge!
This is from the Samsung press conference.
Yes.
So tell us about the internet fridge.
I mean, it was just that they've had fridges with screens in them now for a while, like a decade. But they were talking about how it's, I don't even remember the main intended benefit of the internet connection, but at one point they made special note of the fact that it could, for instance, run Evernote to help families manage their lives. And this was just
something we've seen in Total Recall 2012.
I mean, true.
You want to leave a message for your,
Someone made a really good point on Twitter. Actually, I'll give her credit. Susie Oakes from MacLife made a really good point on Twitter. She said, I would love to have Evernote on the fridge because, she has a family. She's mm-hmm. cooking for the family. She wants to be able to just bring up the recipe without bringing her iPad into the kitchen. And I think that in some of those situations, it makes a lot of sense. But
you want the recipe on the fridge?
Well, you can bring up the recipe, in the little display and, mm-hmm. look through it. I mean, I use Evernote to cook all the time.
Mm-hmm. I have a recipes notebook.
Yeah, I do as well. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, our own Peter Bright made this good joke. It's like, I don't, what, my refrigerator is going to be, fragmented, I don't know.
Fragmented?
What kind of, what version of whatever is going to have on it?
Which version of Evernote
do you have? I'm going to have to buy a new refrigerator because the OS on it is outdated.
And, can you even, interact with it? Is there an on-screen keyboard? Can you type in it, or can you only view it? Or
I think it's mostly
how do you type this?
Yeah,
That's not.
And if it's not capacitive, I would find it very annoying. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine having flour on your fingers.
Well, I imagine trying to
grease, yeah, right? Or butter.
Who's
gonna
clean that? We've seen the smart fridges from LG and Samsung before, where you can manually input the expiration date of the things you buy. And then they will, send you notifications when it's nearing the expiration date.
But you can buy little stickers to do that, or little
RFID stickers and QR codes. Wouldn't that be so much better?
Or
than
use a
standard?
Permanent marker, normal.
Yeah. Or
I feel like manually inputting all that's a lot of data entry for something that's going to expire in couple weeks.
QR code, a camera on the fridge, mm-hmm. and then your carton of milk.
An NFC chip.
As you're putting it on, show it to the fridge and then put it on there, mm-hmm. or some smart cameras inside the fridge that are constantly looking for reading
something.
Expiration date numbers. I don't know. Things that we don't really need. Mm-hmm. But what Samsung did announce that I thought was pretty cool was 4K TVs. Mm. A really, really big 4K TVs. And then that was actually after they had their TVs rise from
it was very, very neat.
And they were only up for a minute, and then they just went back down.
Right, here's, we're going to reveal these amazing OLED TVs, And then
now you see it, now you don't.
Yeah. Popped up, show the clip,
yeah,
and then went back down.
It was very limited amount of screen time for them.
Yeah. The 4K TV, the one they rolled out, had this like giant metal frame. It almost looked like one of those...
That was so
like,
confusing to me, that frame. Yeah. Like,
the guys couldn't wheel it back, by the way. They were having trouble.
They were center stage, like, struggling with this TV while he was trying to talk about a refrigerator that nobody cares about. It was just, like, a very confusing moment for spectators.
And I want to describe this, because it was like, you see a TV, and both LG and Samsung kind of... They said that the bezel is so thin that it looks like it floats. Mm-hmm. And this TV almost looked like it was going to fall down because it was on this frame, like, hinged in the middle. Mm-hmm. Like, almost like one of those old chalkboards that can flip around, mm-hmm. like in law schools or something. Right. And what I read on the internet that this frame is actually part of the TV set. It's not just a stand that they rolled out. That when mm-hmm. if you were in the market for this giant... 4K TV from Samsung, that frame is how you would have to have it in your house. It looked really ugly.
Yeah, it did. I was surprised. And to have somebody, like, forced to attach such a thing to their TV, it's...
I mean, how would you wall mount? It didn't look like it was wall mountable, honestly. I don't know. I haven't seen it, like, up close and personal yet. I mean, will tomorrow. But...
We'll figure it out.
But... Yes, it's something that we'll definitely look for on the show floor tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. What else from Samsung? So they talk about appliances, TVs,
the camera,
the phones. They talk about their cameras.
3D camera. That was probably the coolest thing. The oven, too.
Totally.
The oven. Got really excited about the oven.
I got really excited about the oven. I'm so sorry, Casey.
It's fine.
There are two things. I'm going to roll back. At the Panasonic press conference, and this like might have been legitimately a part where I almost like dozed off in the press conference, they had a 15-minute segment about a new partnership with Home Shopping Network.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
HSN. And they had one of the, I think it was like the...
It was Chanel was the example, wasn't it?
No. This is separate. So it's like a Panasonic one. It's an app that you could run on your TV, and what it would get you was on-demand clips from the Home Shopping Network where prices may not be in real time because, it's all about the last-minute deals. But they made a big deal about digitizing it. So if you are like a big fan of HSN, you can also now get a Panasonic TV or soon get a Panasonic TV where you can browse through their entire library of jewelry,
Joan Rivers
ninja
jewelry.
Swords, baseball card collections, rare coins.
Mariah Carey jewelry.
Everything, computer, Dell computers, HP printers, everything from the Home Shopping Network. But this ties into something they demoed in the Samsung press conference,
which I just killed.
Alluding to.
Yes.
Which was, what did they call it? What was the name for this? It was...
I'm not sure what you're...
It was the thing where you can, if you're watching a show, it's...
Watching New Girl, you can get...
Oh my god! What was it called?
What is that coat on Zoe?
So, like right now, if you watch something on the CW... A show on the CW, Gossip Girl or something, they'll play a song at the end and they'll say, this is the band that we played. It's basically like radio. They're advertising the band and you can download it. And they do that now with fashion. So if you watch something like The New Girl and you have a Samsung TV, you will get a pop-up and you can freeze it and say, I want to buy what that girl is wearing on the TV right now. What do you think about that?
Buying stuff from your TV just seems like...
Bad impulse control.
Bad idea.
It did not seem like... I think the best part was when they named it, Matt Braga, who was sitting next to me, just let out a, oh no.
I feel like I reacted really negatively to it in the moment, but I forget why exactly. I feel like there's some element of it that I'm forgetting that was like really repulsive to me, but I don't remember now what it was.
It's slightly gratuitous.
It's like, I don't know.
It's been much.
Yeah, so this is one of their panels in their new interface, and that was the other thing they were touting. Not only did they have 4K TVs, they had the thing they announced last year, two things. They have a completely redesigned smart TV interface, and something, I have a Samsung TV, I've never gone into the smart TV menu. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never wanted to or had desire to press a button and say, I will now use Samsung apps. Mm-hmm. But now you can't even avoid it because it's actually, that is the screen that you will see immediately when you turn on your TV.
Yeah.
When you turn on your TV, you're going to see their homepage. Mm-hmm. You're going to see their apps, and they'll have their panels. So they'll have a window for Netflix, like video streams. Mm-hmm. They'll have a panel for your photos and stuff stored in your local network. And they'll have a panel for like shopping mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And then the other thing they announced was, and this is the thing that they kind of hinted at last year, is upgradable TVs. Mm-hmm. So their TVs now, they will also sell a separate box that has all the processing on it. And if later on you want to upgrade your TV to a faster processor to get better apps, more capabilities, you can then buy just that component mm-hmm. and not have to replace the entire LCD panel or OLED panel, mm-hmm. Whatever it may be. I don't know if that's what people want either.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised they even had, like, I feel like they had, like, the amount of gall it takes to, like, talk about something 1 year, let a year go by, and then talk about it again. Like, I don't remember what, if they made any promises with regard to that.
It was a big deal last year.
It was.
Yeah, it was.
And I feel like they said it was going to come out within the year, and then yes. just, like, you never heard anything about it again. So I don't know.
It could have been one of those market research things where they just realized that people didn't want it or people aren't ready for it yet.
Yeah.
Also, if they're getting to a point where you're just replacing the processing power or the storage or the memory capacity of a TV and the panel is going to stay the same, mm-hmm. then you're going to want to sell it with a panel that people are going to want to have for a long time.
True.
And if they're on the cusp of doing something with their 4Ks or with their, you know, all their different LED backlighting technology, then it's going to be in their high-end TVs.
Yeah.
So maybe this is the year. I'm not in the market for this.
But yeah, I don't know how compelled people are going to be to upgrade the internals of their TV.
Like to launch something faster. Well, maybe it'll be for, you know, better DVR functionality, you know, adding more functionality as opposed to just speed increases.
Yeah. This sounds like something that, like, 20 years from now, I would buy for my mom for Christmas, because it's like, trust me, mom, you need your TV to be faster. And she'll be like, no, it's fine. My TV is plenty fast, but it takes like a minute to open an app or whatever.
Shocker. The majority of Americans have really plain TVs and don't care about the smart TV stuff or 3D even.
Of course.
And that's something you never hear from the press conferences either. They'll talk, you know, when they say sales figures, they'll say, X number of TVs, X percentage of TVs we sold last year were 3D. Like, people bought 3D. Mm-hmm. That's because you force them on the consumer. Like,
yeah.
You can't buy it without 3D.
You have no other
3D.
Option.
I mean, that was this year's upgrade or last mm-hmm. year's
they
upgrade.
They were all over Costco.
Yeah. And a lot of people, when they're trained, when they go to Costco's and they go to Best Buy's, they want to buy this year's model, mm-hmm. just like you want to buy this year's car model or something, mm-hmm. but not realizing the only difference between this year's model and last year's model mm-hmm. was a feature you'll never use,
right.
whether that's 3D or smart apps.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time with the smart apps because you have that other component of, you know, you have the Xbox, mm-hmm. you have the Comcast box, mm-hmm. you have DirecTV, you have whatever else is driving all that content anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really used to my TV driving all the content anymore, so it's a new thing I'm going to have to get into.
Plus, you have, like you said, a lot of intermediate devices.
Yeah.
You're already connecting your TV to a cable box, to a DVR, and then other inputs. Your TV, you kind of just want it to be like a monitor, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we're all kind of like PC people. When we buy a TV, we're not buying the software. We're buying panel quality. Mm-hmm. And I would love it if a manufacturer came out 1 year and said, you know what? We realize people don't like apps. But they want, here's what our customers care about, low prices and good image quality. Mm-hmm. And here is a affordable TV with best image quality. Mm-hmm. I guess you go to Vizio, mm-hmm. or like a Korean monitor import or something like that, right?
Yeah, they also sell at Costco.
Yeah, those are fine. Buy it on a deal. I mean, the panels actually don't cost that much year to year. So Samsung, I think that pretty much covers mm-hmm. what Samsung did. We also have a recap. You guys did a live blog, so mm-hmm. Everything, I'm sure it's all, like, when you live blog, does it, like, go in one, like,
yeah,
goes
I'm like,
in your ear?
I'm transcribing as best as I can. Like, I'm not even processing anything.
In your ear, into your fingers, onto the keyboard, back up,
head
out
down,
the ear,
You don't even pop your head up. You're just totally like,
nope, I'm just what's hearing, he saying? What's I'm he saying? Hearing, and I don't, yeah, I really don't look up much.
That's good, actually. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you miss the stats that pop up.
Yeah, that's true. And I miss, I make a point to look up when someone else comes out on stage to get their names and their titles right, but that's it.
What is your live blogging strategy? It's really interesting because we talked to like Ryan Block from Gadget, mm-hmm. and he goes to like the Apple keynotes and he's been live blogging mm-hmm. for you know years and years, mm-hmm. and he's had it down to a science. Mm-hmm. What is your strategy at Ars Technica when you guys live blog?
What do you mean? Like what tools do we use?
Like yeah, what is like what are your best practices for live blogging?
I don't know. I mean, we've definitely like iterated on our setup a bunch of times. We just moved to WordPress in May, so that's like really fueled a sea change of quality in live blogging. We have a tool like a tethering tool that we use to shoot photos. In terms of what I say, I try to just like I try to go word for word as much as possible whatever the person on stage is saying. This is actually a format that I borrow sort of from Jackie Chang, who is our most veteran
live blogger.
Yep. She does all the Apple stuff.
Yeah.
But she has a format like where she types so fast, it's insane. But she basically like transcribes and then any comments she has, she puts in a parentheses like
so she can do so. The parsing of, you know, information.
Yeah.
And then also have and then throw in some commentary as well. And that's what you want to aspire to be.
I try to do that as much as I can, but sometimes it's just going so fast.
It's not like sports where you have like play-by-play and the color.
Yeah.
Like, I wish it was. That would be kind of cool. Uh-huh. Right? Here's the play-by-play, word for word, and then you have Madden come in and give the color commentary.
They would need to talk slower for that to happen.
Like. Yeah. And when they're on that 45-minute schedule, it goes on and on and on. It's not made for live blogging.
No.
Yeah. Although if people want to try it at home, some of these are live streamed.
Right.
And then you could practice if you really wanted to live blogging.
It.
The photography aspect is also really interesting too. Because, mm-hmm. you know, back in the early days of live blogging, it would really be like some dude taking photos and then manually cropping and uploading. Yeah, uh-huh. And like, it really is a two-person operation. And I think like when Ryan Block says he does it, it's one person. He's typing and taking photos.
It's very hard to do both.
And it is, it is a exercise in multitasking. Mm-hmm. And
like, I have done a live blog where I was doing both and it was hard, but doable. We have like a tool that will, I think I was using, an app that comes with Canon cameras. Mm-hmm. And then we have a tool that would like take it from the folder, crop it, watermark it, put it in another folder. And then actually we had somebody else like actually pasting the...
A support team, right. So like you're like uploading stuff to Dropbox, then people can pull that out and post it in the feed. And
stuff like that. We actually had Lee for both of our live blogs. Lee Hutchinson was uploading our pictures.
Very cool.
Yes.
We had a little help from our friends.
We did.
And I think live blogs are still, I mean, they're still important for these events because things can happen that are fun that you don't get in the press release and you might not even notice in the video.
Right.
Just little nuances, like the feeling in the room, what's going on, like, you know. Where the clapping is coming from. And
when something generates murmurs is like my favorite.
Yeah.
I said, I forget what happened in the Samsung one. There was something that happened during the Samsung keynote where it was like everyone, you could just like hear a murmur spreading throughout the crowd.
I can't remember.
It was great. I can't remember.
What was going on?
I could go back and look, but.
Yeah. You could relive it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that was the Samsung press conference. And then what was after that?
Sony.
There was a big Sony press conference. There are many other ones, smaller press conferences throughout the day. Netgear, Lexus had a press conference. Huawei had a press conference. They announced a 6.1-inch Android phone.
Huge.
Because they could. And get this, 720p.
Wow.
What? Why would you do that?
Of all the things.
Is it a phone at that point? That's
I guess if you can make phone calls, it's a phone.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's, fine.
6.1 inches.
That line's getting blurry.
Right. You need really big hands to do the one-handed swipe and stuff.
Yeah.
So Sony was the last press conference, and Sony's always weird also, because like, most of these press conferences are in one conference center, one convention center. Mm-hmm. So I think last year it was in the Sands Convention Center, next to the Venetian. in various ballrooms. And this year we're in the Mandalay Bay. Mm-hmm. So it's various ballrooms. But Sony's press conference is always at their booth.
In the central hall.
At the Las Vegas Convention Center, mm-hmm. which if you know the layout of Vegas, it's all the way across the other side of the strip. Mm-hmm. It's like a 30-minute, you know, cab ride or bus ride across to get there. And, you know, people are rushing, you know, from one to the other. So mm-hmm. Sony's was packed. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting also, not like just music choice, but presentation style of these presentations and what they're trying to evoke. Like LG was clearly trying to evoke this like lifestyle feeling, like mm-hmm. happy, calm lifestyles with the colors and the images of people, the fake smiling people they would show. And Samsung, before the press conference, they had like all their goodwill stuff, you know, education mm-hmm. for schools. But they definitely wanted to make a big impact. Sony was all like, heavy editing and flashy, loud music. It was so loud.
It was so loud. I kind of plugged my ears actually at one point. It was a little too loud.
Yeah. Jeez. So, Kaz, the CEO of Sony, came out. And, this year was different because, Howard Stringer was CEO last year. And last year was a big deal because, surprise, they had the cast of Men in Black and the director of Men in Black come out.
Right.
And it was also completed with an acoustic set by Kelly Clarkson.
Right.
So they pulled all their media strings, mm-hmm. and this year was none of that.
But
none of that.
Yeah, I was hoping for Beyonce, but nothing.
Which I'm happy for. Yeah. But they really emphasize their strategy, the Sony strategy for this past year. Sony has been kind of struggling in all its, you know, core business. They're not selling mm-hmm. CD players anymore. Mm-hmm. No Walkmans or Discmans anymore. Guys, they don't make those. And TVs not really selling all that well. Mm-hmm. Their three big pillars are, digital imaging. So cameras and camcorders, gaming. So the mm-hmm. PlayStation and all that stuff and Kagai and then mobile. Cell phones. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And those were the things they talked about most. So, mm-hmm. Nothing really new announced. And then they're like doing headphones now and speaker docks now. They did announce a new Android phone.
Mm-hmm. Two
new Android phones.
The Z and the ZL.
Okay.
Which was also referred to as a Z and the ZL.
Tell me about the Z.
Well, the,
put you on the spot.
I think the, yeah, yeah, a little bit. It's okay. No, I'm kidding. The Xperia Z was, it has a, what is it? It's got 1080p. It's waterproof and, dustproof. Also, I refer to it as lifeproof.
Okay.
I got some hands-on with it over at the booth, and, it's actually, first of all, they put the power button in the middle of the side mm-hmm. on the chassis.
The Xperia TL is like that.
Your thumb like just nicely hits it, which is very nice for how big of a phone it is. It's a lot thicker than the ZL, which is like the smaller version of it. It has the same components, which they both have Snapdragon S4 processors in them.
But so these are 1080p phones?
Yeah.
And I haven't actually seen a 1080p phone in person.
Really?
Does it make a difference between the 720p and 1080p on something that's like a 5?
It's very crisp.
5-inch.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very crisp.
5.5-inch phone.
It looks nice. Yeah. It's like, it's sort of like the Retina iPad and the regular iPad. It's mm-hmm. like you really need to see them side by side to really see a difference.
Well, I think
like,
the regular iPad.
At least
iPad,
I do.
You can tell it looks like shit. Like the Retina iPad is awesome. But
sheesh.
720p on a small phone, that's still higher, like, if you're talking about 1280 by 720 on a 4-inch phone, that's still higher pixel density than what's on the iPhone 4 and 4S and 5. Mm-hmm. But 1080p, and what are the sizes of these phones? These are 5-inch?
I'm sorry, yes, they were 5-inch displays.
5-inch, so 1080p mm-hmm. on a 5-inch, mm-hmm. that's really dense. Mm-hmm. These are LCD phones? Do you know they're like Pentile OLEDs or like?
It's totally escaping me right now.
Okay. Sony has tended to not do Pentile. Mm. I know the TL was not, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I don't
still
think
not.
It was. It didn't look like it from the get go.
What about performance? Like because they're pushing so many pixels, I mean, obviously they have to have a bigger battery, a bigger backlight. Is the performance still as good? Just using it, do you feel it? See any hitches?
On 1080p phones, the ones that have come out so far, I think of the Droid DNA in particular, but okay. the problem is not so much performance as it is battery life. Like, they can push out the power, but it's like, it doesn't last long enough.
Mm. So that is a huge compromise.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that 1080p phones are something that's going to continue on? I mean, or are we going to find a happy medium? Like,
I mean, like at Qualcomm's thing, they announced a new processor that had virtually no specifics on, but they said it was going to consume less power, but still be able to, or consume less power.
Yeah.
But still produce the same amount of
processing power. Processing capability.
I'm using the word power too much.
Processing capability.
But yes, there you go. So, I mean, I think they'll get there. It's just a matter of balancing that equation the right way.
I think if you can't notice the difference between, if you, like, just like a 720p and 1080p TV, I would prefer a 1080p TV, like, but at the size we're talking about, 5 inches, and if you can't notice the difference between a 720p phone and a 1080p phone without putting them next to each other, mm-hmm. that compromise really isn't worth it. Because you're mm-hmm. not only sacrificing battery life, mm-hmm. and, you know, processors will get better and smaller and more power efficient, but the data, I mean, if you're going to watch 1080p content on that, you're storing much more, you're using more data, and you're streaming, and it really, I mean, you're not, even on TVs right now, over cable, you're getting 1080i, really, or mostly mm-hmm. 720p, and the bit rates are low, even if they're 1080, mm-hmm. right? So, you're not going to get the most of that unless you're, like, really, 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 really care. Or maybe, I guess, images. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have, like, a really, really nice photo, and you want to see all that detail.
Right.
But I just don't see the need for 1080p phones. I don't know. Maybe I just haven't, because I haven't seen one in person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, Flo wrote a great article.
It doesn't really
a couple
matter.
Months ago yeah. about this on Ars Technica. You can find it at your local Ars Technica. And yeah, it doesn't really, I mean, the display is so small and you hold it so close.
Unless you have the content for it, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Essentially.
We'll
see.
Yeah. Sony also had their own, 4K TV, and this was kind of funny. And there was a technical difficulty. I think it was the only major.
It BSOD'd or some silliness like that.
Yeah, so they rolled out a prototype 4K, not just a 4K TV, because they have one. They have a $25,000 84-inch 4K TV, which has been on sale for, you know, a couple months now.
It was OLED, if I'm not mistaken.
This one is a 4K OLED.
Yes.
That they literally rolled out, and as they rolled it out, because there was images on this, there were images, it blacked out and rebooted. Oh, and we saw, like, a BIOS, like an ASUS BIOS, and it went to the Windows, would you like to launch Windows? Windows has crashed, would you like to reboot Windows the states mode? Kaz did not notice it for several moments, and
then
he played it off
quite well. Yes, he did it very well.
Yeah, and also this press conference was being streamed over the internet. That was for the world to see, one for the books.
That's amazing.
But they, when after the press conference, they pulled all the black curtains off the TVs they had on the floor, mm-hmm. and we got to see those. And it was just those OLED 4K TVs are bright.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like they almost strain your eyes looking at them.
They do.
OLED has always been kind of like really vibrant mm-hmm. and really bright. And maybe it was the convention floor setting because obviously it's not the living room, but it was just like almost difficult to look at. It was so sharp. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was, I guess that was it from Sony. Not many mentions of PlayStation.
Basically nothing.
Yeah. They did say, I mean, they did talk about, you know, because they are, in the content business and the hardware business.
Yeah.
When they sell 4K TVs, they're going to bundle 10 Sony movies in 4K, mm-hmm. with you. And also they're launching this summer a 4K content delivery service. They gave no specifics. In the press release, they said they're going to have some type of media box that will be for 4K.
Hmm.
And they were talking about, you know, remastered movies, Sony movies, from the original source, either shot in 4K or, rescanned original films, scanned in 4K, like Lawrence of Arabia or something,
mm-hmm.
That they would be releasing on Blu-ray as well that you could play because the bandwidth is there.
Nice.
So that was nice. I thought it was, the Sony conference was bombastic. It was really loud and flashy, and then so many people. But it was cool to see the spectrum of from the morning when everyone was really tired
mm-hmm.
and really sleepy from a not exciting press conference mm-hmm. to the end of the day when everyone was tired and just really overwhelmed from this experience.
Nice.
And then there was one final thing, which was the keynote. Mm-hmm. The CES every year has an opening keynote. Traditionally, Microsoft does the keynote. So Bill Gates, for a long time, made announcements for Microsoft, and Steve Ballmer has done it for the past years. But last year was the last year Microsoft, final year that they did it. And the opening keynote this year was Qualcomm. Mm-hmm. And Casey, you went to that one. So tell me what happened there.
I did. I live blogged it. It seemed like Qualcomm is really trying to gain mindshare in a thing that like nobody has really tried to gain mindshare in ever, I feel like. They basically, what they ended up doing, they announced this new processor, the Snapdragon 800.
And we assume, is this a Cortex A15 based processor?
They didn't even specify that. They said it's a quad core. They said it's up to 2.3 gigahertz per core. That's okay. All they said, wow. I think. And then they sort of tried to tie that in with a bunch of like partners. Like Steve Ballmer came out to talk about Windows tablets with
ARM tablets running. Okay.
Running Windows. He went on for a while, and I was like, this is kind of interesting that he's like sort of
commandeering
this like keynote when
he couldn't get
Microsoft
enough of CES.
Had like washed its hands of CES, but then here he just like showed up again. But then it turned into sort of like a parade of like different things they trotted out to demonstrate how integral they are to
things that Qualcomm processors are in.
Yeah. I mean, but there was also a lot of stuff about apps, which is like so far removed from the Qualcomm is like inside a phone, which is made by
OEM,
a manufacturer,
and the OEM runs an OS.
Yes.
And the OS has developers develop.
It's just like
a game or
you
something.
Guys are so far removed from each other. But they had like a NASCAR app that they showed. They had a Sesame Street app that they showed. Big Bird came out.
All right.
So,
big year for Big Bird.
Yeah. It really was. I was hoping for someone to say something about Romney. And I almost said something in the live blog about it, but then I didn't because I was too busy, like, just typing away. But what else was there? They name-dropped Star Trek. They had an actress came out. They had Guillermo del Toro
did Zoe Saldana come out or something from Star
no,
Trek?
No, her name's Alice Eve.
Okay, she's in the new Star Trek movie.
Yes.
Yes.
And she seemed like very confused about, or not confused, but like sort of wary about being there. And she had a great quote at one point that was like, they were talking about, like, there's the Star Trek app where you can like basically scavenger hunt for Star Trek movie billboards and stuff like that.
It's a tie-in for the new movie.
Yes. And then
Star Trek Into Darkness out May 15th, 2013.
So then there's this like this VIP trip that can be won to a premiere, the US premiere I think of Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And at one point Dr. Paul Jacobs? Is that right? Qualcomm's president.
Sure, okay.
Jacobs was like, wow, that sounds fun. And she said something like, yeah, that sounds actually fun. Like, the implication being, this may be not so fun.
Not so fun. I don't see Hollywood actors doing scavenger hunts with Qualcomm phones.
I don't know. Well, she said it was cool, but then her actual, like, I don't know. But
contractually obligated.
Yeah. Maroon 5 came out at the end.
Maroon 5
played some songs. Exciting. But it was like Adam Levine and then two other guys, and they played like acoustic versions of their popular songs. So sort of very
three of the Maroon 5.
Very mellow, yeah.
Played out the CES opening.
Yeah.
Wow. It maybe felt like Qualcomm needed to prove something.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's really what
it was.
It
their
felt
responsibility.
Like.
To open up the show.
Yeah.
So they pulled all their strings.
Yeah.
And wait, did Guillermo del Toro came?
Yes.
What?
I know. He was on stage talking about, I don't think I've seen or heard anything about this new movie, Pacific Rim.
Oh, you haven't heard about Pacific Rim?
Nope.
It's about giant robots.
Just today, but yeah.
Giant robots fighting giant monsters.
That sounds great.
That does sound great.
That sounds like the Sci-Fi Channel. Writ large.
Well, you don't have to watch it.
No, I like Sci-Fi Channel movies. Mega, what is it? Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus?
It is not like Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus.
I mean, I know it's not that, but that's what it reminds me of, right, to say monsters fighting robots.
It is giant monsters fighting giant robots.
Okay.
It sounds like an anime.
It also opened, the preview opened with a weird line that was like, we never thought aliens would come from our own planet or beneath the sea or something like that. But it's like, definitively, if they are coming from within your planet, they are not aliens.
It's a very specific definition of alien.
Yes.
Yeah.
Me?
No, in the world, in the context of the world, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
They're very xenophobic, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Really?
The movie looks cool. Pacific Rim. Yeah. The Stringer Bell from The Wire is in it. Yeah.
I missed it. I was typing, so I missed, okay. I missed, like,
sometimes you gotta look up to catch Idris Elba.
Yeah.
So that was Qualcomm. So you, like, they talked for about their new chipset for 15 minutes.
Yeah, and then it was very, very. They were very short on specifics and very long on the things that it was going to do. It's not even actually going to be out until the summer, they say, and they didn't even say how or why or like how. I guess how that's going to happen, like what.
And obviously,
if it's going to be a phone, if it's going to be a tablet, like maybe it'll be a bunch of things. Maybe they'll have a specific launch partner. It's like nobody knows.
Is it a phone? Is it a tablet?
I don't know.
It's Galaxy Note.
It doesn't even make sense that it is in the summer because, like, all the major phones get released, like, in the fall. So
right.
If something comes out in the summer, I don't know. It's going to be weird.
Do you think, you guys think that we're coming up to, like, now that we're in several years of Android phones being released, and, you know, you have events like Mobile World Congress, and then you have fall events, like, mm-hmm. are there too many phones being released every year? Just an Android?
Yeah. Probably. I mean, I imagine, like, I know the difference between all of them because it's my job, but I imagine it's very hard for consumers to parse when they go into a store, like, what the difference is.
Do you think they care?
No, they probably go,
like, one's got the Droid DNA.
I feel like this is probably why the Galaxy Note sells so well, is, like, you go in and it's big and it's pretty.
It really stands out.
Bigger and prettier than all of the other ones, and it's like, oh, it has a pen, like, that's a familiar element. And it's like, those sort of things are catching them when they shouldn't be, I feel like.
But I mean, they have sold many, many Galaxy Notes.
Yeah,
it's like,
they've sold,
it's a phenomenon that
several million.
I would not have bet on.
Right.
And I cannot explain, but people love having that one device that they can, you know, multitask on, that mm-hmm. they can use as a tablet, but mm-hmm. then also put up to their ear, or I guess plug mm-hmm. in a Bluetooth headset mm-hmm. and still make phone calls. Mm-hmm. Especially when, I guess, it was Samsung's press conference or one of the other ones said that people want more devices. They don't want unified devices. They want
really?
Even more screens.
Wow.
It was like one of the tenets of their philosophies that go forward. More screens, you know, not just second screens, third screens, fourth screens.
That's sort of
everywhere.
Terrifying to me.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, because you know, in Sony's world, you can have your phone and you can tap it onto a speaker and then your song moves over to the speaker. Mm-hmm. Or you can have a little, the pink ball that he talked about mm-hmm. that you can go into a hotel room, you know, and then, you know, you're sitting at a desk and you want to put music in the room. You play it on your phone and you tap it to the little speaker and it'll play. And if you get a phone call, it turns to a conference call.
Whoa.
And so it's a lot of NFC stuff, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. one other feature is actually a live HDR video. Was one of the features of the Xperia, I think, the new one.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's right. That's right.
And I think that's a pretty cool feature if it really works.
Yeah.
So that was it for, like, all the big press conferences, and it's cool because we hear about it, you write about it, and then going forward, when the show floor actually opens, you actually get to see it, mm-hmm. and now you have a good sense of what to look out for and what are the things you guys are interested in. Mm-hmm. So what are the things that you guys are responsible for specifically and are interested in going into CES when the floor opens?
Mm-hmm. I'm doing a little bit of Android phones, smart TVs, Google TV. What else? I have some sort of more broader pieces mm-hmm. in the works. But that's pretty much it.
Google TVs. Now we didn't see too many of those.
Yeah.
Now I saw the press releases, like Asus has a new one. Mm-hmm.
Netgear actually, announced a set top box today.
Okay.
That I very much like the idea of. And it has a, like, I feel like the main problem with interaction, or the main problem with smart TVs, is how you interact with them. But this one is a set-top box. It's fairly cheap. It's like $129 which I think is still premium over the Apple TV, but sure. has a remote that has a touchpad on it and a QWERTY keyboard on the other side. So it's like two-sided.
And it's a Google TV device.
Right. And you can have Google Play apps on there, like normal apps. So.
Okay.
I don't know.
And that's NetGear.
I would check that out.
All right. And Google TV has been given two chances, I feel like, already.
I feel like they've had more chances.
Maybe
than that. I feel like they're living on borrowed time right now.
So if it doesn't work out this year, I mean, it basically bankrupted Logitech, right? Because they put so much money in that first gen Google TV. Mm-hmm. Sony has had two tries. If it doesn't work this year, it's never going to work.
I mean, I feel like too, it's like the it's a little bit like the 7-inch tablet form factor. It's like I feel like that was tried and tried and tried by so many people.
But it was the 7-inch form factor was never has never got to its optimal point because of Android. Because one Android and because battery and processors weren't ready for it yet. Mm-hmm. Like that first, very, very first Galaxy Tab, loved holding it. It was super light. It was cheap plastic and stuff like that. Weighed much lighter than that iPad, the first gen iPad, but it was also running, you know, Froyo. Mm-hmm. When it launched. And it just was not a good user experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And but now they're also like $200.
But it did finally work.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. No, actually, like, we love Nexus 7. Mm-hmm. Kindle Fire HD, I've seen actually a lot of those. Kindle Fire, 7-inch really? Kindle Fire HDs around. And they, for Amazon, they've sold very well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the form factor in concept, in its most perfect state, mm-hmm. works. And people are going to embrace it. And that's mm-hmm. obviously why, you know, iPad mini is sold mm-hmm. really well as well. Mm-hmm. As well. Because people realize having it being thin and light really matters.
Right.
Right. It improves usability. Mm-hmm. As long as the basic core UI stuff is usable as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Google TV, what about you, Flo? What are you seeing on the floor?
Also Android handsets.
Android handsets?
Yes. Android handsets, Android tablets, whatever's out there. And I'm also doing a little thing on kind of like kids gadgets. Gadgets that parents and kids can do together. Things that can get them into coding, robotics, engineering.
I got a product for you. It's called Lego.
Yeah, I know. That's happening tomorrow.
Lego.
So
Lego Mindstorm.
I'm super
third
excited.
Third generation.
Yeah, third gen. Can you believe it?
It's been 13 years. No, yeah. 15 years. Yeah.
I can't believe how expensive it is. I looked at the press stuff.
$350.
It's a lot of money. It's good stuff, though.
I'm sure it is.
That's not as expensive as a...
But that's like a hard... Like, it's already hard to buy kids something that expensive, but then it's like...
You just don't love those kids enough.
The refrain is always, are they ever going to use it again after this initial, like, excitement? But then it's like, I feel like programming, you A, have to get them excited about it in the first place, and then B, keep them interested. Otherwise, it's like $300.
Are you saying programming is not cool?
Program is very cool to me, but I don't know if you could have sold me on it as a child.
I think kids will surprise you.
I mean, what if your parents got you a little ball, like Sphero, for instance, mm-hmm. and, you know, it came with this free app that you could just set a bunch of tiles to make this little ball do whatever you want to do, go in a little maze. I mean, it's just, mm-hmm. yeah, it'd be like mm-hmm. really easy entryway into.
I don't know much about kids. I'm not having a kid.
I don't know anything about children either.
These are the things I know about kids.
Frankly,
kids love Lego.
Yes.
Kids love robots.
Adults love Lego. Mm-hmm.
And kids love iPhones. Mm. And Lego Mindstorm uses like all three of those things.
Okay.
So I think it's a pretty safe bet.
Okay.
We actually saw them today. But yeah, you look forward. That's definitely a cool thing. Yeah, more of those. You know, cool gadgets and apps to get parents and kids playing together.
Kids are the future. You just have to think about it that way. You gotta get them started now. Then CES will be like 7 times even more than it is now.
All right.
That's my hope. That's my hope.
If CES is ever 7 times more than it is now, like, oh man.
So yeah, you guys, it's been like your third, fourth years at CES. What is CES? How has it changed for you, your experience?
The first time I came here, I'd never been to Las Vegas. Like, that in itself is overwhelming because the way it's laid out, the fact that it's so flat, everything's so far apart, cabs are so expensive. It's just like very.
That's
like,
the part of Las Vegas that like blew your mind?
Yeah. Like, it's very, and like, I don't know, people are, just the fact that people are smoking indoors is like, whoa, I forgot that
and
was
drinking.
A thing. And drinking outside.
Walking down the street with bottles and
then there's like and billboards of like mostly naked women everywhere. And it's just like very, it's such a, so different from anywhere I've ever spent significant time.
It is its own little microcosm.
That was, so that was rough. But I feel like I have a better handle on CES in general, like the flow of it. I think also the first year I came, we got there late. Like we missed all of press day. We got, like I got there right before the keynote started. So that, I feel like that really sets you up for success, like going to the press conferences, because it lets you know all of the major stuff and like what to go out and look for on the floor.
So the first couple of years, you guys were wandering and like looking at this big, the wall of TVs and just like being overwhelmed, because it's a massive, massive convention just in terms of floor space.
Yeah.
And like you could spend a whole day in just Central Hall and not know that there's two floors of South Hall, you know, down the other side where there's like a bunch of other cool stuff.
Right.
You guys are tired of it, bored of it. Like, what are your feelings? Like, there's no Microsoft now. Obviously, Google's not here. Apple's not here. Like, what do you look forward to when you go to CES?
Rest afterwards.
It's nonstop working.
I feel like, see, I'm a newbie to ours, and I was only covering Apple-centric products before, and so now I get to be here. So now I'm kind of in a different wave, because the first 3 years that I dealt with CES, it was like, what's Apple-centric? What can, you know, what can we get out of this that's going to be really interesting to our audience? And now it's like, I can actually explore things beyond what I was doing before. So now I'm trying to figure out how to wrap my head all around that. So maybe I'm having a new, like, CES birthing experience. I don't know. But I'm actually weirdly excited, even though everything is slightly underwhelming. I guess I could say that. Because I feel like everything that comes out that's big now isn't really happening at CES anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I...
It's true, everything it's, that's big.
CES is becoming Macworld, in a sense.
Oh, God, you know, that's
sad. That's what I...
It's really sad.
It's just much bigger.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's become more of like a, it's a social thing now for tech journalists. And it's a way for us to kind of know what to pay attention to in the new year. So it's like, you know, this is what the trend is going to be. This is what we're gonna looking forward to, you know.
But here, I love, I love like the wild cards, like the dark horses, like.
The weird stuff.
The, like, NVIDIA yesterday with their like gaming
console. Oh, yeah, that like, totally just, came out of nowhere.
I mean, because. It's like everyone, I feel like there's always a lot of grumbling going into CES, like people thinking they know what they're going to see, and it's all just it's such a
cynicism.
What's the word? Dog and pony show. And like, there's nothing substantial. But then I feel like every year I've gone, there's something that comes out that surprises everybody. And at least that was not like a big surprise, but it was a,
I think it was a big surprise.
I would call it a... Like, I don't know that it's... I'm not too familiar with it. I don't know how successful it's actually going to be, but, like, no one was expecting it, and it's not... It wasn't dismissed out of hand, so...
It's not maybe, like, front page of the Wall Street Journal, you know, surprise.
But it's an interesting thing that nobody was expecting.
And it's setting the precedent for what's going
to
come.
And it gives you a lot of things to think about and write about, and a lot of things for people to clamor about. Today, we had a couple exciting bits of news. I don't know if you guys heard. XI3, the maker of small computers, they have they really issued a press release that their computer will be at Valve Software's booth. So the word is that this is the Valve's PC Steam box that has been rumored for many months now. And so that's something that you guys should definitely check out. Apparently it's based on their $1,000 small PC. So this is basically a 4-inch by 4-inch by 4-inch cube and has it's a very modular design. So it's not just like one flat motherboard with, you know, components on it. It's like a 3 different section board design and the equivalent of, you know, a quad core PC, but in a small 40-watt form factor. But that's cool for PC gaming. So it's a lot like that. Definitely. You know, PC gaming obviously isn't as big as it used to be. It's a lot of like niche stuff. You know, Razer makes interesting products. They'll have something there. We did see a lot of like PCs, like Lenovo. And Samsung has like their new Series 7s. And so yeah, there's still cool stuff to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does it make you feel like, you know, get you excited about technology? And at all? CES? Like, does it make you feel like this is moving toward, because, you know, CES can be, and maybe at one point in time, it was like a World's Fair. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. we'd go every year and you see what big consumer electronic companies envision the future to be. Mm-hmm. And the past couple of years, kind of a joke, you know, mm-hmm. imagine a world with smart refrigerators and stuff like that. Is there no sense of wonder left?
I mean, I think that the way the information disseminates now with the internet and everything, it's like, it's hard to get excited about everything because everyone knows everything right away. But it's also, I think we can get jaded about like how much we do get to see, like we get to hold these phones or like play with these things that nobody else is going to get to touch for another 9 months or maybe never if it like never pans out for the company. So I feel like that's kind of exciting at least.
Yeah, I think for sure. You're right that because the way CES is being reported now there are the immediacy of news, the way CES and these conventions have been going on for decades were designed for print and broadcast journalism, mm-hmm. where you would have a press conference and then guys in fedoras, maybe not exactly fedoras, but you know,
press tickets
and pens and notebooks would jot down the notes, do the interviews, and then write a thought out piece, mm-hmm. a day later mm-hmm. with context and stuff, as opposed to the immediacy of here's the press release, mm-hmm. but I've done the word jumbo and it's now in a completely different order of words, mm-hmm. right? And that's not something that you guys do. You guys take your time, right? Mm-hmm.
Trying
is important.
Yeah.
But I think there is definitely a sense of wonder, and you're right, getting access to things that may never come out, some prototypes, mm-hmm. and also access to people,
mm-hmm.
Executives and the actual, it's cool because you might not get to do an interview with the president of Samsung, but you'll get to do an interview with the product manager of a certain, a piece of technology, and he'll be on the floor, you know, pimping the thing that he's spent the past 18 months developing, mm-hmm. and you'll get some genuine insight as to why certain things are made the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still very commercial.
Mm-hmm.
They're still out there building things to sell you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's little bits of innovation here and there.
Yeah.
Oculus Rift is something that I would also recommend you guys. It's the VR goggles. It's a John Carmack. It's another PC gaming thing. It's a pet project he's been working on for a couple of years, and they had it at QuakeCon and E3 this last past year. But it's a Kickstarter, and they're getting ready to release their developer kits in the next couple months, I think. And so that's also on the show floor. I'm sure you guys have someone on it. But mm-hmm. even if you guys aren't writing about it, it's something I would recommend that both of you go check out. It's very cool.
I'm definitely interested in that's another thing that I think I will absorb is like AR.
Yeah, augmented reality and
like Vuzix.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, Vuzix has their thing. It's not exactly Google Glasses, but you know, it's electronics and components are getting small enough to a point now where inventors and scientists and computer engineers can come up with interesting ways to implement them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might not be practical.
Right.
5 years from now.
Yeah, it feels. I mean, as a person who doesn't wear glasses, it feels odd and slightly gimmicky to me.
Short of it being built in, like if you had it and I couldn't tell.
Right.
Short of that.
Yeah.
No one's going to use it.
Well, you know, 20 years ago, people wearing jeans who didn't have big phones in their pockets, right? And they would have thought that was weird to have a 6.1-inch or 5.5-inch slab in your pocket that you're staring at all day.
True.
And yet that's the world we live in right now.
True.
It's true.
Though they were carrying around, like, Walkmans. Like, they had it way worse.
They did have it pretty worse.
Like, come on. Well,
debatable.
I shoved a Walkman in my back pocket. I did that. I did my time.
See?
Now I just put it in my purse, like a lady.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, anything else you guys want to talk about? Where can people find you? Obviously, rsuckley.com. You guys are on Twitter?
On Twitter. On Tumblr. Or do you want me to say my Twitter? I'm just Casey Johnston.
Oh, that flow. O-H, that flow. F-L-O. Please do not put a W in my name. That is offensive.
All right. I think that will probably do it for us for this evening. You'll be able to find us on Tesla.com. I'm at nchan. Thanks for you guys for watching the live stream, and if you're watching the day after, thanks for that as well. We'll be doing this all this week with a different set of guests. Thank you guys. Thank you two so much.
Thank you.
I know it's been a long day for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
And the show hasn't even really started yet.
No.
So we'll see you on the show floor, and we'll see you guys on that wonderful place we call the internet. This is Norm from Tested. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Are we done?